2 Samuel this morning, chapter 5. We are in August. How about it? Folk are starting to come back a little bit. This lunch on the grounds we're doing, it's actually on Labor Day Sunday. You know, Labor Day is on a Monday, but it's the Sunday before Labor Day. So there's a reason for people to stay in town, be a part of that. Again, we'll have soccer, we'll have cornhole, we'll have great food. The African Children's Choir, they're going to be here. They're not going to do a full-blown concert, but they're going to be here and pepper in a few songs. They'll also join us out on the playground. And so we'll be able to have fun with them. So do invite your friends in view of the choir that'll be here. They'll be able to meet these precious children, plus just the lunch that we're going to share together. So, very good. 2 Samuel 5, verse 17. Verse 17, it reads, "When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him, but David heard about it, went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?' The Lord answered him, 'Go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you.'" Verse 20, "So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, 'As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me.' So that place was called Baal Perazim." Lord, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Here we see that our man David had a challenge, but thank God that God is in the equation. And I love just the wording of this. Every once in a while, it's good just to feel the gravitas of God. How many of you like it when you feel like you've got Big Brother that's got your back? And so I love kind of the militant, the strength, even the aggressive tone of the Lord. I mean, he is the Lamb of God, yes, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's meek and contrite, but he's also a man of war. You say, how do you reconcile that? Well, in God, he doesn't suspend one attribute to demonstrate another. So that's what makes God, God. So it's just fun to see God flex on occasion and break out against our enemies that are his enemies. And so in verse 20, it said, he said, "As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me." So that place was called Baal Perazim. Now there's a footnote in my Bible about that location. And the footnote reads, Baal Perazim means the Lord who breaks out. Can we say that together? The Lord who breaks out. All right, also go to the minor prophet Micah, and we'll see something similar and characteristic here. And the prophet is speaking for God about the deliverance that was promised. And he says in verse 12, "I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture, the place will throng with people." Verse 13, "One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. The king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head." Love this. And again, the initiative here is from God. God breaks open the way so that we might break through. He breaks open the way. Verse 13, "One who breaks open the way will go up before them," the people of God, "go up before Israel. Therefore, they will break through." Do you need a breakthrough in any area? Isn't it nice a Big Brother would go up before you and kind of clear the path just a little bit? Wouldn't that be nice so you're not just slugging away on your own, just in the arm of the flesh and in your own strength or lack thereof? See, capital O, "One who breaks open the way will go before them. Therefore, they will then break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them." He's always in front, the Lord at their head. You know, God's many names reveals his character. And here in the minor prophet, we see God is the breaker. He breaks open the way. He is the God of the breakthrough. And because he breaks open the way, then therefore we can break through. You can hear a lot about needing a breakthrough, but in order for the breakthrough, we need God to break open the way so that we might break through, okay? It wouldn't be a legitimate breakthrough divorce from God because, again, it's just pushing in our own efforts. But God is helping in this way, and it's important for us because the Christian life is a progressive one. Have you noticed that even in the land, even as you enter the land, there are giants in the land. Have you noticed that? You know, you would have thought, God, that when you brought the people of Israel in the land, you would have cleared all that away. He goes, no, I left the giants in there to teach you warfare, to teach you how to fight. And so it's a progressive journey that we're on where we go from challenge to challenge, yes, but hopefully from glory to glory and from strength to strength. We're not to remain the same. We push through, yet as Prophet Micah said, God is at our head. The king goes before us. So I want to talk today about breaking through to the God of breakthrough. But it has to happen sometimes in that order. Breaking through to the God of breakthrough. We experience it because he goes before us in this progressive journey. Have you ever felt stuck before? If so, how does one break free? How does one move on? How does one get up? How many of you know when there's no movement, the greatest effort and energy is that initial movement to create motion? That is hard. If you're already moving, it's easy to go to the right and left. But if you're sedentary or stationary, it's hard to create movement out of nothing. So if there's ever a place of being stuck, what to do? Well, breakthrough, we find, it's a combination of the power of God and the human will. God has all power, yet he's given us a will whereby to access him and to call on him. So we don't want to be confused in thinking that we have to huff and puff and strive and get off into some weird human side of the equation. But we're also not to say, God, if you want to save the Dominican Republic, you'll do it. Hello? We have to also respond. So God gives grace. He sends his power, but he wants folk to have beautiful feet to carry his message. So it's the power of God. It's the human will as well. On the human side, the group Switchfoot. Y'all like Switchfoot? They wrote a song several years back entitled, Dare You to Move. And the chorus would say, I dare you to move. I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself off the floor. Dare you to move. Like today never happened. Today never happened. In other words, what they're saying is you may have blown it today. You may have had a bad report today, a bad situation today. But I dare you to move forward regardless of it. I dare you to act as if the past doesn't affect the present or the past doesn't affect the future. I dare you to get up and move as if whatever that negative report was, I dare you to not allow that to define you or cripple you or handicap you. I dare you to get up. Now, we know it takes the power of God, the grace of God, but on the human side of the coin, love this challenge by Switchfoot. I dare you to move on. I dare you to refuse to be defined by that. I dare you to get up out of that failure and refuse for that to allow its tentacles to remain on you. I dare you to shake it free. I dare you to act as if you're forgiven. I dare you to break into a new season as if whatever's been accumulated up till now has no power over you. I dare you to act as if your future is bright. I dare you. I dare you to get up. Love that. Then they begin to go into the verse again, welcome to the fallout. Love the reality. Welcome to the fallout. We live in a very fallen world, do we not? Welcome to the fallout. Welcome to resistance. Now, you've got to say that with a smile on your face. Headwinds. popular culture, pushback. Well, it's real. Welcome to resistance. Like the man on the Count of Monte Cristo said when he was kidnapped, he looked at his captors and said, "All right, go on, do your worst." Love that. With a twinkle in his eye. Welcome to resistance. The tension is here. Tension is here between who you are and who you could be, between how it is and how it should be. The chorus again, I dare you to move. Cutting into the next verse, maybe redemption has stories to tell. See, redemption is taking a horrible situation and redeeming it, turning our ashes to beauty. Beauty for ashes. We sang about the great exchange. Acting as if redemption is actually real. Maybe forgiveness is where? Right where you fell. Where can you run to escape from yourself? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Salvation is here. Where are you going to go? Salvation is here. Dare you to move. Love that. Love that. Do you ever think, woo, I sure need a breakthrough in this area or that area? Again, ever feel stuck? And it could be a mindset. It could be a memory. It could be something that's harassed and dogged. Sometimes when people hit trauma, they'll stop growing, like emotionally, based on that one point. I've heard situations where someone had a traumatic experience at, say, 15, and they stopped growing emotionally based on that. Is there healing? Is there ability to break free? Swiftfoot's challenge is that there would be movement, finding God, salvation, forgiveness. Now, does God have all power? He does. On the human side, we're just coming into alignment with his power. But he needs our cooperation. And sometimes we can be so resigned that it can almost be silly. And it's almost as if we're saying, God, I know you have all power, but it's just too deep. It's just really far gone. It's just really dead, you know. And God is saying, give me a little movement on that. Cut into this YouTube, David, if you would. Just want to show you this. Again, we're talking about just the human side here for the moment.
Whoa, that's not good.
Oh, I don't need this. I'm already late.
Somebody will come. Anybody out there?
Do you have a phone?
No. Sorry. Somebody! Hello! There are two people stuck on an escalator and we need help. Now, would somebody please do something? I don't believe this. You gotta be kidding me.
I'm gonna cry.
Well, there's not enough left to do, is it?
Hello? Hey, don't worry about it. I'll fix it in a second.
He said he can fix it. All right. All right. That's more like it. He says he can fix it.
Funny but true. Thank you, David, so much. Isn't that funny? There's a way. God makes a way. It's bigger than us, yes. But God said, I won't allow you to be tempted that I won't provide a way out. There's a way out. There's an exit. There's a way out. There's help. We just have to shift our confidence and our focus. So now, it's usually probably not that easy, but sometimes it might be if it's just merely based on attitude and outlook. But again, it's not always that easy. I mean, take the paralytic that we find in Mark 2. We're going to go over there. The paralytic man, was paralyzed. I don't think he had an attitude problem. I don't think he was struggling with negativity or didn't have a positive moral outlook on life. I think he was legitimately stuck. But let's just read through this story here and see if we can take some cues as to his breakthrough. If you go over with me to the Gospel of Mark. Mark 2, familiar story, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat, and walk'? But that you will know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Never seen anything. Just a couple of points here this morning. Go back to verse 1 and 2. At the beginning of the chapter, a few days later, Jesus entered Capernaum. The people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached to them the word. So number one is gather to Jesus. Again, this is breaking through to the God of breakthrough. First and foremost, we must gather to the one who has the power. Gather to the one who has the grace. Gather to the one who has the ability. Gather to the one that has answers. That's why many times when we go to various sources, we could walk away from that feeling even worse than when we began, because people have a certain limitation. So we want to be in the habit of gathering to him. Daniel, in his moment of conflict, he gathered to the Lord in that moment. So when the people heard Jesus was home, they went to him. He was back home. He was in the house. So they went to the house where he was. There was an action point. And again, nothing like having him in the house, nothing like having Jesus in your house. So we make room for him. When Jesus is in proximity, that's when things happen. I quoted a week ago about Dr. R.T. Kendall talking about the importance of keeping the dove down, keeping the Spirit of God down on your life. He said, that's where it's easy to forgive. That's where it's easy to be generous. That's where it's easy to love. That's where it's easy to be gracious. But when the Holy Spirit lifts and we're left to ourselves, then we discover how we really are, and the crankiness and the wrong report and the proclivity to negativity and on and on. Therefore, we go to the one that can help. We gather to the man, Christ Jesus. We could stop right there, but we gather to him. Put a premium on living near and being near to him. As y'all know, a week ago, we just dropped Catherine off at Auburn. And they've got a pretty good little football team there, being in the SEC. And the way it works is that even freshmen are not guaranteed a seat at the game. And so they have set up a lottery system. You would think that a student would be guaranteed to be able to go and to participate, but that's not the case. So they have a lottery system, and there are three packages, maybe four, that you will come into. And the first may be that you're blocked out altogether, but that may not be accurate. It may just be three options. But I know at least these three. One is that you get two tickets to the home games. The other package is you get four. And then the third is you get a full season of tickets, and so season tickets. And so, again, You could come out of the lottery with two, you could come out with four, or you can get the full-blown package of just getting every home game. And so when it was all said and done, she landed the package of two, you know. So I don't know how many home games they had totally, but she thought, you know, bless God, I'm going to get in that stadium. You know, I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to watch those Tigers. In other words, I'm going to get in that house. I'm going to get in there where the action is. So she spent probably a cumulative total of 24 hours. I mean, when we were at the beach, she was working on it. We got home, she was just working it and working it. So finally, when we dropped her off, we were at a restaurant, and she was supposed to meet this guy there, and actually he came. We were hoping it was going to be legit, you know, and it was. And so anyway, met him and paid, and so she is going to be in the house for every home game. You know, so it's like, I'm going to get in that house. These five men, four friends, one paralytic, had that mindset. I've got to get in the house. I've got to find my way to where he is. So there's some things that we have to do. Verse 3, some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. So, number 2, keep the right company. First, gather to Jesus. But secondly, there is a very real advantage of being around the right people. Being in the right company. Finding the right friends and friendships. This principle can have a big impact on our lives. Do we surround ourselves with those that edify, speak the word? Or do we spend our best energy with naysayers or enablers or skeptics or gossipers? Misery loves company. We know that. You know, same thing is true for counsel. You can always find someone to agree with your already determined conclusions, whether right or wrong. Therefore, we have to be careful. We have to watch who we listen to, watch who we take counsel from. Are they pure? Do they operate in the James wisdom from above? Do they have the courage and character to correct us when we're wrong? There's actually a quote that says, show me your friends and I will show you your future. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. People can empower, wonderful, but they can also pull down. Now, these four friends of the paralytic, these are some mighty good friends. These are some friends that are demonstrating some serious love for their buddy. Elizabeth is starting up a women's Bible study this fall, again, on Joyce Meyer's book, as David mentioned, Power Thoughts. You want to be around those that will declare right things because they're meditating properly. Our thinking and meditations are important to life and health. Our speech identifies our thinking. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So again, this paralytic had amazing friends, stellar friends. That's how come the little children somehow instinctively knew that they could just run up and jump in the lap of Jesus. How did they know that? They just knew that they would be received. They knew that he would have affirmation for them. The right people is critical. They weren't negative skeptics. No Debbie Downers. You know, one person said it this way, that it's harder to kick a critical spirit than it is a cocaine addiction. So we have to be careful. What are we listening to, surrounding ourselves with? The paralytic's friends were friends indeed. They had a spirit of faith and optimism. They were sacrificial. And in spite of his condition, they ministered hope and took action. And of course, it was radical action. The paralytic and four friends, they came to the house of Jesus. There were five in all. Five is the number of grace. The four friends' reason, this one is not about any person's impotence. It's about God's omnipotence. This is about God. And again, that's a friend. That's who we need to be hanging with. Next, in verse 4, it reads, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. So number three, refuse to be denied. Refuse to be denied. I mean, that reminds me of blind Bartimaeus. Remember when he was on the side of the road getting all noisy? You say, well, that was just a little bit out of order. No, he was afflicted. He had nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. With the paralytic, the facts were that there was no room in the house where Jesus was. These were the facts, the cold, hard facts. Yet they did not turn back. They were willing to be inconvenienced. In other words, the escalator had stopped right at the front door. But Jesus is just on the other side of that door. The escalator had stopped. That wasn't the end of the story unless they made that the end of the story. Martin Luther King Jr. said, many people don't take the next step because they can't see the whole stairwell. Don't have to see the whole stairwell. The escalator stopped, and they interpreted it, well, I guess that's that. They refused to be denied. They kept walking, as it were, and they were certainly walking by faith. Number four, remove the lid of limitation due to hunger. Remove the lid, whatever the limitation is, remove that due to just raw hunger. What needs to be moved around? How can we adapt? What can change? Now, can you imagine, say you're doing a Bible study in your apartment. Maybe it's a Thursday night, you're doing a Bible study. Got a good group of folk. And all of a sudden, the light fixture above your head starts trembling. Plaster starts falling down. All of a sudden, you see a foot just come through the ceiling. I mean, this is absolutely radical. Now, when I was in Israel, it wasn't exactly plaster and tiles. It was a little substandard in that context. But can you imagine someone wanting to get in so bad, and it's your house. It's your house. It's your condo. It's your apartment. It's where you pay the bills. But there's such hunger, they're saying, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I'll fix the hole later. I've got a hole in my soul. I'll fix that later. That can be fixed. I've got a hole in my body. I've got a hole in this relationship. I've got a hole in this business situation. I've got a hole in this financial conflict. I've got a hole. And so they just broke through almost without any. And you would think that the owner of the home would just like, are you like kidding me? But he didn't scold them. They removed that lid. But we could have stopped short. Now, again, this isn't a theology to go, break into stuff. But there was a hunger that was appreciated by the Lord. Will we be limited by background, human weakness, lack of resources, mindset? Remember Moses. Remember Gideon. There was a perceived lid over their lives. The five men did not turn back. They were willing to be inconvenienced. Took an action step. Versus caving into fatalism, thus losing their blessing. How could they leave when Jesus was right there? How could they leave when Jesus was right there? Jesus was right there. How could they leave? He was right there. Was there a barrier? Yes, but it wasn't an eternal barrier. It wasn't a fixed barrier. It was a challenge. It was a bit of a challenge. What they did was unorthodox, but it was motivated by pure faith and love for their friend. And of course, Jesus took notice as such. When their times of being stuck, lack of breakthrough, you may not break through a physical ceiling, but you may say, you know what, I think I'm going to add some fasting to that. See what God might do. You know what, I think I'm going to step out on what I think I perceive God is saying. And see what God might do. You know, I think I might increase the prayer on that. See what God might do. You know, I think I might give in to that. See what God might do. You know, I think I might get desperate, get hungry. I think I might need to embrace some obedience in that situation. Because here's the thing. You know, being stuck on occasion, that's part of the human condition. But it's not the end of the story. The house was full. The door was shut. But there is a way that we can find Jesus. There's a way to get in there, you know. And so we've just got to step back and think, how do I get in there, you know. And so we just use the resources that are at our disposal? Have I consecrated? Have I anticipated? You know, am I giving God something to work with? Am I willing to walk up the escalator, as it were? They dared to remove the limitation. They dared to remove it. Again, Switchfoot's challenge, I dare you to move past where you were once hindered. Dare you to not be defined by it. Dare you to get up again. We pick up ourselves and our challenge and make our way to the God of the breakthrough. We break through to the God of the breakthrough. He does the miracle, but we've got to break through to Him. We break through so He can produce the breakthrough. And then fifthly, ultimately, only Jesus gives the miracle. Only Jesus gives the miracle. In verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven. I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, He took His mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Number 6, your breakthrough will result in praise to God. Your breakthrough will result in praise to God. Sometimes it feels like Jesus isn't always accessible. Sometimes it feels like there may be one layer or one wall or one door. But the first point of action is gather to wherever you know that He is. Secondly, refuse to be denied. It's like, I will not stay parked in this. Remove the limitation however you can. Remove the limitation. And then also realize that only He can do the miracle, and then it'll result in praise to the Lord. Now, we need to mention here that when Jesus told him, he did get up. Say he got up. How do paralytic folk get up? They don't. But he did actually do it. He could have said, "Jesus, if you want me up, you get me up." He said, "No, you take up your mat." On the human side, he did actually get up. Can you imagine Jesus looking and saying, "I forgive you, pick up your mat and walk." He's like, "Huh? I'm going to feel like a fool. I'm going to drop like a bag of seed." You know, and he's looking at me, "No, you do it." Wobbly and all, he talked, and he did. He got up. The man moved on the word of the Lord. So what's the word of the Lord to us today? What's the word of the Lord to you? What challenge is before you? The God of breakthrough can help. As Switchfoot saying, salvation is here. Just shut your eyes and just think about that door that's between you and the Lord. There's a door. It's not impossible, but there's a door. Yet the room is full. Hopefully you got some folk around you saying, "Don't stop yet. Don't stop yet. It's not over till it's over. How can I break through to the Lord of breakthrough? How can I get to Him? How can I find Him? Is there an adjustment to make on my end? Some things that I'm doing? Do I need to take some things out of my life in order to get to Him?" Many times we're not hungry because we're full of other things. But we can make a decision to get hungry, to be desperate. What can I do to add to the equation to somehow find my way to Him? Because He alone has answers. Now, if you got something in your mind's eye, just declare in your heart, breakthrough to that thing. Breakthrough to that thing. Breakthrough. The breaker's going before me, breaking open the way. Breaking open the way. I refuse to remain on the other side of the door. Breakthrough. 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 Also, just ask the Lord, is there something I'm to add to the equation? Am I to add additional prayer? Am I to add fasting? Am I to add an action point? I don't know what that action point would be. One action point might be I've been listening to wrong voices. Sometimes we have to sever voices that are hurtful. Breakthrough. Let's just stand on our feet. Breakthrough, Lord. Breakthrough. Breakthrough, Lord. We want to get to where you are. That we know if we can get there, you'll do the miracle. If we can get there, you'll do the miracle. But Lord, we're going to figure out how we can get in that stadium, how we can get in that house. How can I get in there? What do I need to do? It may take some human effort, which is not the ultimate confidence, but there is something required on our side. What do I need to do? Breakthrough. I just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm trusting that you're going to touch that just like you did the paralytic. In the same way you raised him up, Lord, you'll raise this situation up and you'll fix it. I just tell him in your heart, fix it. Fix it. I'm breaking through to the God of breakthrough. Now, Lord, fix it. Fix it. Help it. Heal it. Lord, for our city, for our nation, heal it. We break through to the God of breakthrough. He's the one that does the miracle. Family life, finances, our health, relationships, the workplace, the business. Take a moment, just turn to your neighbor and say, how can I pray with you here before we dismiss? Say, anything I can agree. Just like the paralytic, he had four amazing friends, and you may need to have to take them to Jesus through your prayer or through your prophecy. Just right now, just turn, find someone and say, I'm willing to be one of those four. Can I help take you to Jesus? And then just pray and agree together.